Samuel chapter number 22 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. And I was praying this week after I got the call to return as to what the Lord would have me to preach. And God did not tell me this morning, till this morning, but that's okay. I woke up this morning and this message was just on my heart. And I prayed about preaching it here in the morning service. And God kind of gave me that assurance, so I'm glad about it. And I'm just trying to let the Holy Ghost lead me. And if you notice, last week I preached, and I used my, I have several Bibles. I get made fun of by my family. I have so many Bibles. They say, who needs that many Bibles? I say, well, I got this study Bible and this study Bible, and I like the font in this one. It's easy to read. It's comfortable to read at night. And I like this one when I do my devotions and all this stuff. And but I got all these Bibles. But I got my preaching Bible usually with me. I'll have an iPad. It was a gift from another preacher a few years back. And ever since I got it, just about every message that the Lord has given me, I've put on that iPad for two reasons. One, so I can have everything all together. And two, because my handwriting is atrocious. And sometimes I'll be up in the pulpit and I'll have a handwritten outline and I'll look at it and think to myself, what in the world does that even say? But I haven't preached this message that I'm preaching this morning in about 3 years now. And I got it still on paper here, amen? So I need to convert it over and put it on there. But I'm glad that I have what I have, amen? And I got the Word of God and that's all I need, amen? And I do love the Bible, and I had a real good time teaching Sunday school. And I'm just glad for the mercy and the grace of the Lord. I'm glad that He's given me an opportunity this morning to preach. And I hope it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. This scripture has helped me many a times. Amen. And I'm just going to jump right into it in 2 Samuel chapter number 22. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 29. And the Bible says, "For Thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over a wall." And I want you to listen to the following verses. The Bible says, "As for God, His way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places." Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. And God, I pray that You'd get me out of the way. And Lord, just help me to preach what You want me to preach, God. Something that could help somebody this morning. God, I pray that You would empty me of self this morning. Fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, bless my church home back in Taze Valley, God, and help them as well. Lord, help my preacher as he preaches this morning. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind. And God, we'll give You thanks, honor, and glory for all that You're going to do. Give me power in this hour to preach, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. I love reading about the life of David. I love reading in the book of Psalms. As I mentioned last week, I believe I preached on the 17th Psalm, or the 117th Psalm, rather. And I like looking at David, and I like looking at the things that he had to say with the Lord. And I love reading about the dialogue between David and the Lord. It wasn't that long ago. We have a food pantry at my home church, and there's a lady in our church, and she loves God, and she is she's very smart when it comes to the Bible. She's very intelligent. She's very learned with the Scriptures. And her husband's a preacher, and he's preached in hundreds of churches all over America. And her name's Miss Jean. And Miss Jean and I, we began talking about King David, and we began to talk about the covenants that God made with David. And she made a statement, and I cannot read about King David, and I cannot read about his life without thinking about what she said. She said, "Could you imagine being as close to God as David was? Could you imagine being as close to God as David was?" God called David a man after God's own heart. And many times you hear that verse taken out of context and they want to preach it as if they're talking about David's heart had the same characteristics of God and wanted the thing that God wants, and he was like God in that sense. And I believe that at certain times in his life he did reflect God. He did picture Christ in the Old Testament sometimes. And we know the Bible's not a book of perfect men, amen? The Bible's a book of faithful men, men, and the Bible is also a book of men who have messed up. If the Bible was a book full of perfect men, it'd get pretty discouraging to read after a while. Amen. But King David, there's no doubt, there's no denying that David loved God and that he desired to please God. When it says that he was a man after God's own heart, David wanted to please God. David wanted to be God's right-hand man. David wanted to be the man that when God said, I have a task, I have a job, I have something that needs done, I'm going to go to David. David wanted to be that man that was right there at the foot of the cross. Amen. And she made this statement. She said, wouldn't it be wonderful to be as close to God as David was, to literally, audibly talk with God every day and to know God the way that David did. Amen. You get a little bit into prophecy and you read about when the Lord comes back and he sets his feet on that Mount of Olives and that Mount Cleaves and he comes in through that eastern gate and he sets up on the throne of David. It says that David will be his vice regent. And I can't explain all that, but what I can tell you is if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Amen. Over here in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, a few chapters earlier, God makes a covenant with David. Amen. God makes some big promises with David. God used him in a mighty way. The name David is mentioned more times in the Bible than Jesus is. The name David is mentioned more times in the Bible than Jesus. Now, Jesus is the center, and the gospel is the center of the Bible. Don't get me wrong. Every page of that book is about Jesus. But what I'm trying to get across to you here this morning is God has some things to teach us. Amen? Amen. God has some things to teach us about this man David. And this 22nd chapter, this little study Bible I got, the footnotes aren't inspired, but this writer, this commentator, he likes to call it David's Song of Deliverance. David's Song of Deliverance, and David is praising God, and David is worshiping God, and David is exalting God and lifting God up. Amen. And what we find in this passage of Scripture is David begins to describe what God is to him. And it wasn't too long ago, and I'm a young person. I'm still a young preacher. I'm wet behind the ears, and I got all the Twitter and the Facebook. I got all that stuff, and I like to follow those preachers on those social media outlets, and I like to see what they say, and I like to get those little nuggets of wisdom that they share, that they throw out on that social media. And I saw a preacher he put on there one day. He said, if you were to describe who God is to you, that can tell me almost everything about you. He said, I can know almost everything about you if you'll simply tell me who God is to you. And I began to think about that. And I began to think about the words in my mind that I would use to describe God. And I was talking with another friend. We have a bus ministry at the church, and he and I, we run buses. And we began to talk about that thought as I was chewing it over, and I was thinking about that scripture. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to ask some of these kids that question. I'm going to ask them who God is to them or what He means to them. And I asked this one little boy, I stopped him. I said, hey, brother, let me ask you a question. I said, who is God to you? And he said, Jesus. I said, hey, that's good enough for me. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is God this morning. Amen. But David, as we find this passage of Scripture and as we find that David is singing his praises to God and he's talking about how God has delivered him, how God has exalted him over his foes and he's allowed him to conquer his foes, without getting ahead of myself, I just want to say it right here. He's explaining and he's describing and he's exalting God and he's telling people who God is to him. He's telling people who God is to him. And with the help of the Lord, for the next few minutes, I'm not a long-winded preacher, and I'll give you everything I got as quick as I can, but I do want to preach on this thought this morning. Who is God to you? Amen. Who is God to you? Amen. And we'll jump back into the Scripture, and I want to look at what David says, and I want to point out just three small things very quickly, and I'll let you go, that David uses to express about God, that he uses to express about his love for the Lord and his excitement over his deliverance. And the first thing that I see is right here in verse number 31, and the Bible says this, as for God, His way is perfect. It doesn't say His way is probably the best way. It doesn't say His way is probably going to keep you out of trouble. He doesn't say His way is better than so-and-so's way, and it's the best way we've found so far. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the way of God is perfect. God's never made a mistake one time. Now, we down here on earth, we can get mad and we can fuss and we can tell God that He's made mistakes and we can say, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you do this? But understand this, that God does not work on our timetable. And when God looks at eternity and He looks at time as a whole, God created time. Time didn't exist before God. Time hasn't always been around. We have to use these words like eternity past. We have to use words like that in our minds to even conceive some of the great things, the deep things of God. But we need to understand that God is outside of time. And when God looks at these things, He doesn't look at these things and watch them happen. He doesn't look at them and watch them happen like time running, almost like a picture show, almost like a movie. God doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as if it's a picture. Yeah. And it's still. Because to God, there is no beginning and end.
Amen.
To God, there is no waiting or anything like that. God is outside of that. And amen, I'm glad that He's perfect. And I'm glad that He's holy. And I'm glad that He is righteous. Amen. And I'm glad that He is all-knowing. He's bigger than that time. Amen. But I want you to look what the Bible says. It says, God's way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. The word of the Lord is tried. You ever been talking to somebody, you say, well, how exactly do you know that's going to work? You ever been on the job site and you're talking to somebody, you say, well, how do you know that'll work? You say, I've tried it before.
Amen.
I've tried it. It's worked. And I've told people, I've gone to I go to every Thursday night, not too far from here is a place called Barbersville, West Virginia, and there's a place called the Robert Shell Juvenile Detention Center. I go there every Thursday night, and we preach, and we sing, and we tell the kids about the love of God, and I try and tell those folks, listen, I've tried it. It is a tried way. It is tried and true. I'm telling you, God's way is the best way. God's way is the only way. God's way is perfect. And if you'll give your life to God and you'll be obedient to what that book says, I promise God will bless you. Amen. And I can tell Him because it's been tried and true in my life. I found that the times in my life when I was obedient to God, the times in my life when I was fervent in prayer, the times in my life when I was deep in the study of the Word of God and seeking God's face, those have been the times in my life when I was the happiest. And it didn't necessarily matter what circumstances I was going through at the time. The only thing that mattered is that I was trying my best to walk alongside God. Amen.
Amen.
It's the times when my prayer starts to lack. It's the times when my Bible reading, it's easy sometimes in the ministry to let the work of the Lord get more important than the Lord of the work. So Brother Larry, he could attest to that. Sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed with the things of God and being busy for God, and you forget about the basic things that God desires and expects from you and I as His children. And I'm here to tell you that it's in those times that I get aggravated and I get spread thin and I get short-tempered. And I think to myself, why is it feels like everything's just falling apart? It's because I'm not following God as closely as I should be. But the Bible tells us that His way is perfect. His way is tried. Hey, you could never be, nobody in here this morning could convince me that God's way is not the best way. Nobody could convince me that there is some other better way, some other man-made philosophy that is better than what God has laid out right here for us in this book. Nobody could convince me of that. So we ask David, we say, David, who is God to you? I believe he would say, He is my direction amidst the fire. Amen. The Bible says in the 12th Psalm, it says, The words of the Lord are pure words. They are tried as silver through a furnace of fire 7 times. Amen. And you know, back in the day, the blacksmith, there's one of them in my home church. His name's Brother Mike. And I asked him, I said, well, could you tell me a little bit about this verse? He said, well, yeah. He said, if you're trying to purify silver, he said, you're going to melt it. And he said, those impurities and that dross and those things, he said, they're going to kind of raise to the top. And he said, you can skim them off real carefully. He said, now you don't want to swipe a bunch of that pure silver off. So you skim it off. And he said, you let it get hardened again and you flip it over and you boil it again. You get it to that boiling point again and it begins to raise again. He said, you do that about 7 times, and most people who study metals, they'll tell you that silver is going to be pure. Amen. I'm glad that there is not an unpure thing in this book. I'm glad that I don't have to come to God, Brother Rice, and question myself and say, well, I don't necessarily, that doesn't sound like good advice to me. I don't have to worry about that because the words of the Lord are pure words. Amen. David said, He's my direction amidst the fire. Hey, you're reading the Bible. You're reading the Old Testament. This is a bloody book. There are some violent things that happen in this book. There are some graphic things that happen in this book. And David, the Bible says he was a man of war. David was a man who was on the battlefront. David was a man who wasn't afraid to get in the middle of the heat of the battle to fight for the things that God had entrusted him as the faithful steward of. No, David needed the Lord's help in the heat of battle. David said, I need some direction. I need some help. And I'm glad here tonight that even though we're going to face battles, even though we're going to face trials, even though we're going to face temptations, I'm glad that we have direction amidst the fire. Amen. I'm glad that we have the Word of God to guide us. The Bible says in the 118th Psalm, I believe it is, it says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't have to stumble through this world of darkness blindly. Amen. I tried to get up in the middle of the night last night. My sister, she's got a little lap dog, and I tripped right over that dog and fell in the living room. But I'm glad that with the Word of God, that illustration isn't commonly found. We're not tripping over things and stumbling over things if we're using the Word of God the way that it's supposed to be used. Amen. It's a light unto our feet. It's a lamp unto our path. And I'm glad that we have a fireproof book. Amen. It's tried with fire, the Bible says, and the Word of the Lord still comes out pure. Amen. There are men who will bring philosophies, and there are teachers who will try and disprove God in colleges and universities all over this nation, but I'm glad that none of them can disprove a word of this book. Amen. None of them can disprove a single word in that book. We have direction amidst this fire. Amen. I'm glad that the Bible says in John 1, the Word was made flesh. And Jesus was tried too, amen? And He came forth perfect, amen? I have a friend. We run an addiction recovery ministry at our church on Saturday nights. And we go up to Charleston to the homeless shelters and the Department of Correction, the jails, and we pick people up and we bring them to church when they're allowed, when they're on furlough and things of that nature. And we preach to them and try to help them get clean and get them saved, amen? And I have a friend who is he wasn't a captain at the time, but now he's a captain with the Charleston Fire Department. And he drives the bus for us because he knows the city of Charleston like the back of his hand. He's been driving those streets for 20-something years in a fire engine, so he can drive a school bus up and down them pretty quickly, and we can pick up as many people as we can and get them into the church house on Saturday night. So we were coming back one Saturday night, and I asked him, I said, Johnny, I said, what is something that you have to have? Is when the Lord was dealing with me about this message. I said, what is something you have to have that you absolutely, essentially have to have when you're in the middle of those fires that gives you that kind of direction? I said, what is the most important thing for you to have? And he said, you need to have a captain who knows what he's doing. He said, you need to be able to rely on your captain. You know, you need to make sure he knows what he's doing, and he'll get you in and out of those fires. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter number 5, I like it. It's what we call a Christophany. That's a fancy word for it. It's a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. The Bible says that Joshua came to this man. The Bible says he was an angel of the Lord, but the Bible called him. He identified himself as the captain of the Lord's host. You know who that's talking about in the Old Testament? That's talking about Jesus. Amen. And the Bible, the Hebrew writer in chapter number 2, it calls him the captain of our salvation. I'm glad that in the midst of the fire, I'm glad in the midst of this wicked and evil and perverse world and generation that we live in today, I have a captain who knows what he's doing. I'm glad I have a captain who can navigate the way. I'm glad I have a captain who can guide me through whatever the world and the devil and even my own flesh can throw at me. I'm glad that I have direction amidst this fire. Amen. Where would we be today without the direction of God? Amen. I'm glad that He's my direction amidst the fire. Not only is He that, but He's my defense against my foes. Amen. Amen. He's my defense against my foes. Look back in the Bible with me. Back again to verse number 31. I want us to look what the Bible says. It says, as for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is tried. And look what it says. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. One of my favorite study tools. I don't have a physical copy of it. I have to use it on my phone or my computer. But it's the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And I love it because Noah Webster loved God and he wanted to glorify God with what he brought to the English-speaking people. And what he did was he identified and he defined many of these biblical terms that we find right here in the King James Bible. And I got in that book and I started to look at these definitions and I looked at that word buckler and what Noah Webster gives us. He says it's a shield used to deflect rocks or blades or arrows. It's worn on the arm in the time of battle. And I like how David uses this illustration about God, because as I look at this buckler, I see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God walks with the Christian every day. He mentions all the things it deflects. He said it doesn't matter if they're shooting arrows at you. It doesn't matter if they're slinging rocks at you. It doesn't matter if they're trying to catapult things at you. He said pretty much anything that's thrown against you, that buckler is going to be able to stop. Amen. I'm glad that anything this world throws at me, I have defense against my foes because I have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says that our enemies, 1 James 4:4, I read it earlier, said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" He'll help me to defend against my flesh and the desires of my flesh. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And many of people, they hear that verse and it goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes I'm not even sure it gets that far. It might go in one ear and out the same ear. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken lightly, because the devil's not out just to rain on your parade, so to say. The devil's not out just to cause you to have a bad hair day, amen? The devil's out to ruin your life. The devil's out to break up your families. The devil's out to destroy your home and to destroy your children and to destroy your grandchildren and to destroy your relationship with God and make you useless and unprofitable for the glory of God. The devil is not playing around this morning, and neither should we. But the Bible tells us that we have a buckler, and the Bible says He is a buckler to all them that will trust in Him. Amen. It doesn't matter. One of us in here tonight this morning doesn't have all the protection, all the power of God, and all the protection of God isn't used on one person and everybody else is left to fend for themselves. But the Bible says all them that trust in Him, He is a buckler. And I'll tell you this, I was thinking this morning, Brother Rice, as I was studying over there in the Waffle House. I went there this morning and got some bacon and eggs before Sunday school. But I was thinking while I was sitting there and I was studying, I was looking at that scripture and I was thinking about prayer. And I was thinking about perhaps the greatest display of trust. Or if I could say it this way, the best way to show God that you trust Him is to pray. The more you pray, the more fervently you pray, you're showing God, hey, I believe that this is going to work. Hey, I'm trusting that this is going to work. Hey, I take you at your word when you said the effectual and the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe that. You're telling God, I trust that word. And something interesting I found when you study that buckler, and I like this right here. When you study that buckler, it was mobile. They took it with them in the heat of battle. It wasn't something they had to roll around. It was something they strapped to their arm. But something interesting about it, Brother Larry, is those people were covered when they would get down in the kneeling position. When they would kneel, when they would go to bended knee, and they would get behind that buckler, they were completely covered. And I'm telling you, friend, the biggest battles are not fought in the church pew. The biggest battles are not fought out there in public when you're dealing with the wickedness of the world and your co-workers that want to blaspheme and break you down and curse God. No, the biggest battles are fought on bended knee in your prayer closet somewhere, someplace when you're alone and nobody sees and you can't get any glory for it and you're just praying and trying to get a hold of God and you're trusting in His Word and you're doing what He says to do. Those are the times I'm glad that He is the greatest defense against my foes. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, and I'm not exactly sure how the quote goes, and I'll probably butcher it, but he said something to this extent. He said, God, the devil laughs when we stumble. The devil laughs when we mess up.
The devil laughs when we doubt God, and he mocks us, and the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He's before the throne of God, and he's trying to make a fool of us. But you know, the Bible says that the devil and all of hell trembles when we pray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I touched this a little bit last week. I'm a Baptist. I believe in the priesthood of believers, and you don't have to come to me to get a hold of God. You don't have to come to the preacher to get a hold of God.
Amen.
The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Any of those youngins downstairs can get a hold of God just as quick as I can, as long as they're saved. Amen?
Amen.
You can get a hold of God wherever you're at, whenever you need Him. Amen? And He'll be the defense against your foes. And I'll finish with this thought right here. We've seen that He's our direction amidst the fire, and we've seen He's our defense against our foes. But I like what the Bible says in verse 32. David's just exalting God. He's just exhorting here. He says, "For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God?" And when you read your King James Bible and you see that capital L-O-R-D, that's saying Jehovah God. That's what the Bible's saying. And God isn't so much a name as it is a title of which only one is worthy, the sovereign creator God of the universe. And he said, who is God except the Lord?
Amen.
He's saying, who's God except Jehovah God? He's saying, there's only one God. Amen?
Amen?
There's only one God. And he goes on and he says this. He said, and who is a rock save our God? I've heard many a people described many a ways, and oftentimes you hear faithful people described as a rock. They'll say, my mother, she was my rock. My father, my daddy, he was my rock. Or my preacher, he's my rock. And it's a word used to describe faithfulness. You're not going to describe somebody that way if they're not faithful, if they're not accountable, if they don't help you when you need it, if they're not always there, if they're not reliable. Amen? I'm glad tonight. Not only is He my direction amidst the fire, my defense against my foes, He's my divine authority forever.
Amen.
Who is God save the Lord? He's saying, hey, who's God except the Lord? Nobody. Who is a rock save our God? Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 8 that He is the chief cornerstone, upon whom the foundations of the apostles and prophets were laid. He's the foundation of it all. It all starts with Jesus. Amen. A church built on anything less than Jesus will crumble and will fall away. But the Bible said, I'm glad when Jesus was talking to His apostles there at Caesarea Philippi, He was standing there, and I've been to the place, I've been over there right on the border of Jordan and Syria, and I've been to that place where Jesus stood, and behind Him in that hill and all that stone, there's empty carvings, and there's still graven images of false gods. There are still graven images that the Persian people that they worshiped and they sacrificed to. There's still the ovens, there's still the temples, there's still all those things that were set up to those gods. And I believe, and you can not believe this if you want, but this is just a little bit of mycology. I believe that Jesus took His apostles there to that place because He Himself wanted to prove a point. And He said, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some, they say you're Elijah. They say you're the prophet Elijah and you're resurrected. He said, some, they say you're John the Baptist, although they say he was dead. But Peter, I'm telling you, he hit the nail on the head. Amen. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, as He spoke to Peter, He didn't tell Peter that He was the rock. He didn't tell him He was the foundation of the church. But He said, upon that profession of faith, upon that truth that Jesus Christ is God, He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And He says it boldly to His disciples, while behind Him sit those graven images and those gods made of stone that can't answer prayer and can't hear and can't love and can't forgive. And He says, upon this rock I will build my church. And He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm glad to report that a church that's built on Jesus cannot fail. Amen. He is our divine authority forever. He's the answer to every problem. He's the solution. He's the cure. He's the remedy. I'm glad this morning the Bible tells us of a The Bible tells us in the Old Testament of a wonder illustration. There's a song that we still sing about it today. It's called the Balm of Gilead. And back in those days, that was a modern marvel. That was a miracle. That Balm of Gilead, they used it in so many different medicines to treat so many different things. And I'm glad that no matter what the world throws at me, no matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what the wickedness of this earth could try and press on me, I'm glad this morning that I've got a high sheriff in heaven. I've got a divine authority forever, and as long as I'm relying on Jesus, I've got everything I need. So I'll ask you this morning, who is He to you? What does God mean to you? Does He mean as much to you as He meant to David? Does He mean as much to me as He meant to David? What does God mean to you here this morning? Maybe He means everything to you. Maybe you eat and sleep and breathe the Word of God, and you love God, and if you do, I thank God for it. But maybe there's somebody in here this morning. You've cooled down. You've taken off the throttle a little bit. You've begun to become burdened with the things of the world, and you're beginning to grow weary of this wicked world. I'm telling you, it's easy to do. It's easy to get weary walking through this wicked world, but we have a God in heaven who can keep us going. Amen. Maybe you're in here this morning and you've never even been saved. You've never been born again. Let me tell you, friend, I'm not saying this as a scare tactic. I'm saying it because I'm commanded to preach the whole counsel of God. Hell is just as real as the place we're sitting in this morning. And it's full of men and women and boys and girls that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll spend eternity suffering that death, separated from God in a place called hell. But if you're in here this morning and you're under the sound of my voice and God the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart and it's about to beat out of your chest and God is saying to you, you need to get saved. This morning's the morning. Come and trust Christ. I invite you. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can't save you. If I could save you, I'd do my best to. If I thought baptizing you would save you, me and Brother Larry would sneak in here before the evening service, fill that baptistry up, and I don't care how strong you are, you could not stop us from dunking you in that water if I thought that that was going to save you.
Amen.
But the fact of the matter is here this morning, you come to Christ with a repentant heart and you realize that you're a sinner and you're just like me and you deserve that devil's hell. But you call on the name of the Lord and you ask to have those sins forgiven, you'll walk out of those doors just as saved as anybody.
Amen.
It's all by faith.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you get saved this morning, God will mean a whole lot more to you than He did when you walked in here. Amen.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around but me. I just want to ask a few questions. Nobody's looking at me, and I'm not going to call anybody out. I just want to pray for people. I just want to be a blessing. I wonder how many people in here would say this morning, preacher, God used to mean more to me. I used to be on fire for God. I used to have a zeal for God. I'm talking about it used to freak people out how much I loved God. But I've slowed down. The world's been getting to me. This life's been getting to me. This flesh has been getting at me. And with nobody looking around, I wonder how many would raise their hand and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me that God will rekindle that love in my heart for God. God bless those hands. I wonder how many would be in here this morning and say, preacher, I sure am glad God showed me mercy and grace and some part of that message touched my heart. Would you just raise your hand? God bless you. And last but not least, I wouldn't want to end the service without saying this. And listen to me very carefully. Don't let the devil distract you. Don't let pride well up in your heart. Don't let fear overcome you. If you're in here and you're not saved, and you be honest before God and you say, preacher, I don't know if I die today if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if heaven will be my home. I tell you what, right here, right now, you can step out of that pew. And it don't matter what anybody in here thinks. You might be thinking to yourself, well, I've been in this church so long. What are people going to think if I come forward and I get saved? What are people going to think of me? Hey, it doesn't matter what people think. Amen. The only thing that matters is that you get things right with God. And I'm sure that Brother Larry would have his Bible ready and be ready to show you what the Bible says about eternal life. And you can be led to Christ right here in the morning service. And your fellow saints, we can rejoice with you. If you're in here and you say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved this morning. Would you raise your hand? There's nobody looking in here but me. If you're in here and you're not saved, nobody looking around. If you're in here and you're not saved, would you just look up here at me? If you raise your hand, if that's you, why don't you come forward this morning? Why don't you just step out by faith? Brother Larry's going to come to the altar. He's going to meet you with a Bible. He's going to show you how you can trust Christ. Those of you who are saved and you're in here, you ought to be praying right now that God will deal with hearts. You ought to be praying that God will save souls. We've already had one come to the altar. If you're in here and you're not saved, I beg you, don't put it off. Don't let pride well up in your heart. Don't let fear hold you back. If you're not saved, come this morning and get saved by the grace of God. Would you stand to your feet and sing with me? I'll be in page 316. Would you sing with me as God's dealing with people? If you need to come to the altar and pray, you come up here and pray. It ain't going to bother me one bit. Page 316. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Back again on the first. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.